Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:42 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is September 25th. It's been a very eventful weekend on the political front, and that is having an impact on what markets are doing in here. On the one hand, you had Germany, where they had their much anticipated election, and the net result has been that Merkel has will probably be the next chancellor, but that the alternative for Deutschland is going to have seats in the Bundestag. So they're going to get a much more public venue to voice their particular policy line. And that is going to probably elicit some form of response or a shift to the right in terms of government policy in order to blunt the growth of that particular demographic. The euro was weaker in here today. It was down by a cent. It's continuing to pause around this 120 area. This is the lower side of the range. And downside follow through tomorrow would confirm more than short-term resistance around this 120 area and probably suggest that we're in line for a reversion back towards the mean, which right now coincides with the upper side of the underlying range. And I suspect that that is perhaps better than a 50-50 chance at this stage that we are going to get a reversionary rally in the euro. What many consider a surprise outcome in terms of the rise of populism in Germany, which has so far been largely immune from the kind of political upheaval that we've seen, for example, in the USA or in France or in the UK. Well, what it's suggesting now is that this demographic of people who are upset with the status quo is not just a phenomenon that is particular to the English-speaking world, but that it is a growing phenomenon. It is something that all countries really do need to take at least some time to consider the ramifications of. Well, the ECB was very quick to say that they will add as much liquidity as is needed to the Eurozone economy for as long as it is needed, and that is the primary reason that the euro was weaker. And of course, that is generally music to the ears of stock market investors. This is a liquidity-fueled environment, and the continued supply of cheap, abundant liquidity is something that is likely to be greeted with enthusiasm by stock market investors by and large. The MDAX in Germany has been consolidating around this 25,000 level for much of the last 4 months, but it is right at the upper side of its range. And when we turn our eye to what is happening in the USA, this week we're going to get some detail on what the Trump administration's tax plan is likely to be. And some of the companies that are likely to benefit most from it are either going to be those that in fact pay their taxes in the USA and are liable to that 35% corporate tax rate, and by and large those are the ones that are mid-sized. So the Russell 2000 is at the upper side of its range, and it is in positive territory today. That's despite the fact that the Nasdaq was in negative territory, and it pulled back by over a percent. It was ever so slightly off its lows in here today. Obviously, these types of companies that are leading the Nasdaq higher are likely to benefit from tax reform as well, and most particularly if it incorporates some degree of allowance for them to bring back some of their overseas profits. What I think is most particularly important about the Nasdaq is that it has been consolidating around this 6,000 level really since June. And in that time, the progression of higher reaction lows has remained intact. It is coming back here towards that 5,800 level, and this is a natural area where support could be found. The S&P 500 is in a very similar situation. When we begin to look at these outcomes, we could potentially have a reversion back towards the mean. The S&P 500 is now 7 points below that psychological 2500 level, and it spent most of last week trading just above it, but we haven't had a clear break yet on the upside. It is still somewhat overbought relative to the trend mean. An additional pause and consolidation around this level is not beyond the bounds of possibility, and it really does depend on what we get in terms of that tax proposal. Then in Japan today, the Nikkei was in positive territory, but it is down in the futures. And a part of the reason for that is because Abe has decided that he is going to call a snap election, and that he has changed his mind as to what they're going to do with the proceeds from the sales tax hike, and that he wants to invest more in education and crowd-pleasing initiatives, to put it probably more realistically. Now, the dollar has rallied against the yen over the last 3 weeks, and it paused a little bit in here today, and there is a progression of lower rally highs evident since the beginning of this year. It is back above that psychological 110 level, but now is the question whether it is going to be able to break successfully and above the most recent high. Is it more importantly going to be able to clear that 115 level? It's probably going to need to do that if the Nikkei is going to be able to sustain its breakout and a break above 20,000. The second section index was down last week. It is really quite overextended relative to the trend mean, and but it is still holding this progression of higher reaction lows, and it was in mildly positive territory in here today. If we do get a break in that progression of higher reaction lows, then that will suggest that we're in the process of mean reversion, and that could shave approximately, I think it's about 500 points off of the index, and even then it would still be only coming back to the most recent peak, and which was around that five a significant peak, which was around that 6,000 level, and that also coincides with the trend mean. And then in New Zealand, we also had some political upheaval, and that took some of the wind out of the New Zealand dollar. What I think is interesting is that the Australian dollar, pardon my typing, the Australian dollar has been firming, whereas the New Zealand dollar has been pulling back, and that is now a lower high relative to that move that we saw in July. Nonetheless, the New Zealand dollar has got a significant interest rate differential, so that is likely to represent at least a cushion following any pullback that we have. And 70 cents has represented an area of resistance for at least a year. And as long as it is holding, sorry, 75 cents has represented an area of resistance for over a year, but 70 cents has been an area of support. And if it can continue to find support around 70 cents, then that will suggest that this is a period of right-hand extension following what was a pretty persistent downtrend from the middle of 2014 all the way through until the end of 2015. And in the oil markets today, we also had some fireworks. Kurdistan is holding their referendum on nationhood, and nobody in the region wants a sovereign Kurdistan, except, of course, the Kurds. You have Turkey really threatening that they're going to choke off Kurdish exports, and that resulted in Brent crude pushing on to $59. It was up over at $2, and this is a new high for the year, and indeed a new recovery high. We haven't seen a high, we haven't seen prices at this level since the middle of 2015. Now, the potential for a sovereign Kurdistan to create issues for both Turkey, Iran, and Iraq is perhaps non-trivial, and it suggests that there is likely to be an uptick in tensions in the region, and of course that is likely to have an influence on oil prices. Now, when we have also seen that WTI is pushing through the push, I think more correctly pulling away from the $50 area, it has now quite conclusively broken the progression of lower rally highs for the year, and it has catch-up potential relative to Brent crude. Certainly, the oil market was in need of a bullish catalyst, and now with an additional uptick in geopolitical tensions, not just within the Middle East, but within an oil-producing area of the Middle East, then we have the potential for somewhat higher oil prices. And it couldn't be coming at a better time for producers in the Permian Basin, which are contending with higher production prices as they scramble to get enough of people together to man their operations, and indeed the price of servicing or the services. I think the better way of saying it is that just the cost of production has been rising as they've been scrambling to get as much done as possible. And as long as prices are now have an upward bias, then the incentive from the perspective of unconventional suppliers to increase supply is as powerful as it has been at any time in the last 3 years. So we can certainly think that there's going to be some kind of supply response from producers that can do so. But then we also have to remember that we are in a period of synchronized global economic expansion. So that would also help to create additional demand growth for all commodities, but most particularly industrial commodities, and oil is certainly one of those. Now, when we if we go back and we look at the gold market, well, when we have additional uncertainties coming through, and certainly the rhetoric with North Korea has been picking up, well, gold prices today firmed pretty impressively from the $1,300 area. And while not quite an upside key reversal, it is certainly an outside day. And most particularly, it is bouncing from the $1,300 area and the upper side of the underlying range. This is about the most benign outcome that one could hope for. And as long as it is holding the low that we saw last Thursday, then we can potentially give the benefit of the upside to additional higher to lateral ranging. When we look at the silver price, then it had been pulling back. It got all the way down to $17 and also posted an upside outside day in here today. So it moved to a new low earlier, but then it closed above the peak that we saw on Friday. But it wasn't a new reaction low, so it is not an upside key reversal. Upside follow through nonetheless tomorrow would confirm support, at least short-term support. And when we look at this market, which has been characterized by volatility, then we know that this is the region of the trend mean. It's another area of potential support here. And there has been a downward bias in silver since the middle of 2016. And if it can bounce successfully here and break that downward bias, well, I think it would be more credible to make the argument that a retest of the $20 area will be looking more likely, and potentially even that we get prices above $20. So what happens this week in precious metals is going to be, I think, going to tell us a lot about what we can expect, not just from the short term, but from the medium term outlook for these metals. And I think it is worth just quickly skimming through the charts for some of the largest technology companies, because there was some talk today of Fang Flu. And something that I've pointed out both in the audios and videos and in the commentary is the commonality that we have right now in Apple, that it is prone to these periods where it loses consistency at the penultimate high. And we have just seen it fail to sustain this breakout to new high ground, and now it is pulling back towards the trend mean. And this would suggest that we are in for some additional consolidation here, because there is no incentive among Apple fans to buy the iPhone 8 when the iPhone X is coming out in less than a month. So that is likely to create at least some uncertainty about how well their products are going to sell. And I don't own an Apple Watch, and I have not yet seen any reason why I should own one. And I think that that is perhaps something that a lot of people are also thinking about. And Mark Zuckerberg was rebuffed in his attempt to take greater control of Facebook, and that's certainly a positive outcome, but it is weighing on the share. And when we look at Facebook's trend over the last 5 years, then it is prone to progression to reversions back towards the mean. It is due one, and now it is likely that it is going to get one. But a sustained move below the trend mean would be required to even begin to question that we're not still in a reasonably consistent medium-term uptrend. And Microsoft, which has been just a stalwart in markets, was also in negative territory in here today. But again, the progression of higher reaction lows remains intact. It is somewhat overbought relative to the trend mean, and it could quite easily pull back towards that $70 area and still remain in a reasonably consistent medium-term uptrend. Then, if we look at Amazon, it has been pausing around this $1,000 level for really much of the last 4 months, and it is now coming back towards the region of the trend mean. And I think as long as it is bouncing from the region of the mean, which it has done on two previous occasions in just the last couple of years, then I think that the majority of investors will remain relatively sanguine about its prospects. And Google is the other big share that has been pausing around this psychological $1,000 area, and it wasn't down much today, but it was in negative territory, and it has unwound most of its overbought condition relative to the trend mean. But what I've been pointing out repeatedly is that Google has been, or Alphabet has been, prone to these $100 reactions, and so far this is not yet a $100 reaction. A $100 reaction represents a normal reaction for Google, and it would need to have a reaction of more than that to question the consistency of the overall advance. And if we look at some of the more high-flying shares, then Netflix is susceptible to some pause and consolidation. Nvidia was also in negative territory in here today. And again, this has done so incredibly well, then the likelihood is that we do get some pause and consolidation, and at least a pullback towards the mean at some stage, and this might indeed be the beginning of it. And it's also worth considering how Tesla is performing in this environment. And the most important thing it has done in almost 4 years was to complete that 3-year range, and now we're getting the first step above it. But again, this is also susceptible to some pause and consolidation. And against all of that background, it is worth considering that the VIX index was in positive territory in here today, but it is coming off incredibly low levels. And this highly inert environment, where we have this progression of lower rally highs since 2015, and which is a falling wedge characteristic, is not going to be sustained indefinitely. That eventually we are going to get a pickup in volatility. Now, there are lots of things that people are worrying about, not least because monetary policy is beginning to change, that we are moving out of the quantitative easing era, and we're being led by the Fed, that the Bank of England is talking about raising interest rates. But we're still in very early days, and yet people are very worried about the potential that this could have a really quite profound effect on asset prices. And I think that these are all rational arguments, but the question is whether the threat is imminent. And I think that, you know, we are potentially susceptible to some mean reversion, and but I don't think that we're there yet. Most particularly because, yes, there is a lot of debt that has been taken out, but debt doesn't really become a problem until it needs to be refinanced, and there isn't a great deal of debt needs to be refinanced right away. The really big quantities of debt that need to be refinanced start in about 2019, and that is true of both the government and corporate sectors. So if we were to think about what could where the real problems in debt are likely to be, then they're a little bit out there in the future. But nonetheless, if interest rates continue to rise, then that is going to put pressure on leveraged players. And there is a lot of leverage in this market. I think that is something that is perhaps the biggest risk out there. It isn't necessarily that it's going to be Kurdistan, or it's going to be North Korea, or it's going to be Venezuela, but it's probably more likely to be the response of highly leveraged investors to these relatively esoteric events. I think that that is the probably the biggest risk that we have out there right now, and I think that the VIX is something that really should be kept an eye on, and that this is an important time to be monitoring the consistency of the medium-term uptrends. What I think is also worth keeping an eye on is banking sectors. And for example, the S&P 500 banks index was in mildly negative territory in here today, but it is at the upper side of its range, and the banks should do well from tax reform. So perhaps the bigger question is, rather than looking at all of these potential problems, rather to think, is this perhaps some profit taking ahead of an uncertainty represented by what the tax reform bill is likely to be, considering that a lot of the enthusiasm that has been expressed in stock markets over much of the last 10 months has been in response to this expectation that we were going to have profound tax reform, and that that would be positive both for the economy, for spending, for individuals, and now we're going to find out exactly what we're going to get. So maybe people are just taking a little bit of money off the table ahead of the event. We've definitely had a buy the rumor rally, which has lasted for a really quite a long time already. But certainly, I think that as long as we are monitoring trends and that progressions of higher reaction lows remain intact, then that this is still a reasonably benign environment, that we have not had any real tightening. And the only big question out there is just how addicted are markets to this liquidity, that can they handle any tightening at all? If that is indeed the case, if they can't, well then that is a testament to just how fragile the market is. That is, I think, the big uncertainty. That is something that we just do not yet know the answer to. But I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.